So this is our introduction to Proverbs, chapter 1. We're going to go through all 32 verses. And we title this, "Whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil." A foundational point to consider in this study of the book of Proverbs is that Solomon is a type of Christ, and David, being the father of Solomon, is a type of our Heavenly Father, from where every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We know David can represent Christ, but in this instance, the wisdom of God is expressed through Solomon, who reveals the Father as Christ did. Solomon typifies Christ, our wisdom, in this instance. And we'll look at that verse. Who has come to reveal the Father? The Proverbs were written so that we can come to know Christ, who is our wisdom. And in so doing, we can come to know the Father through Christ, which is eternal life. That's John 17, verse 3. Therefore, in type and shadow, we need to know both Solomon and David, but not after the flesh. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. And all those representations of Christ as well is what we're learning. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 18 to 25. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. Whoso hearkens unto me shall dwell safely again, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And we can say amen to that. We know of that's, but it's interesting. God's the one who's allowed that to happen, that Babylonian system that he allowed to be built back physically in the day and now spiritually in this life, in this world. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. So he's just going back to that point. This is the foolishness of the world, the wisdom of man. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. So our life is foolishness to them, and if we have the right mind of Christ, the wisdom of this world is foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And that's what God will show through the body of Christ, and not the weak of the world. He's going to make his strength perfect through the elect, and the least will be greater than John. And if we're granted to endure unto the end of the world, we'll see the workmanship of God through this body. John chapter 14, verses 9 and 10. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet have you not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believe thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. Matthew 11, verses 27 to 30. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. So as I was writing these verses down, I was thinking, well, that's the relationship here with David and Solomon in type and shadow. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Again, Whoso hearkens unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And that may be astonishing for the world to believe when they understand what's expected of the body of Christ, to lose our life, to not be afraid of what men can do to our flesh, to go where our flesh does not want to go. Christ says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Because we go there with the mind of Christ and with the strength of Christ and the faith of Christ and the promise that he won't leave us and will never forsake us in all that he is going to put the body of Christ through to bring us unto perfection on the third day. And this is eternal life. This is life eternal, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. The message of the Old Covenant Proverbs are found throughout the New Covenant and are used in very foundational ways to build spiritual concepts. Matthew 16, verse 18, and I say unto thee, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Here are a few examples to that point. Proverbs 3, verse 11, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. And then we have in Hebrews 12, verse 5, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of him. Proverbs 3, verse 34, surely he scorneth the scorners, but he gives grace unto the lowly. James 4, verse 6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. And also 1 Peter 5, verse 5, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. You, yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Proverbs 10, verse 12, hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covers all sins. James 5, verse 20, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. And 1 Peter 4, verse 8, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. There are three distinct sections to this first chapter of Proverbs. The first section explains the purpose behind having Proverbs in the first place. The second talks about the positive spiritual effect that these Proverbs can have upon us if we heed them. And the third section explains the negative consequence of not holding fast to the wisdom that God gives us through the church. Solomon being a type of Christ, who is the head of the church and makes manifest God's knowledge through the church. Ephesians 1, verse 22 and 23, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And Ephesians 3, verse 10 and 11, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the purpose, our first section for having Proverbs. Verses 1 to 6, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Solomon is the king of Israel, Israel representing the world. And as stated, he is the son of David, who is in this instance is a type of God the Father who created our Savior and King. Colossians 1, verses 15 to 19, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Christ received the wisdom and instruction his Father gave him, perceiving the words of understanding with the Spirit of God that was given to him. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. If we are as Christ in this life with his mind, then we likewise should be growing like Christ did by receiving the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. Matthew 11, verses 27 to 29, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knows the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. And the verse we know so well, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. 1 John 4, verse 17. And then Luke 2, verse 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. 2 Peter 3, verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. It is truly the glory of God to conceal a thing, and the honor of kings to search out a matter. And if we are granted that hunger and thirst to search for the Lord with all our hearts in this age, we, being the weak of the world, will be given subtlety. And that word is prudence, discretion, and wisdom. Even when we are young in the faith, he will give us knowledge and discretion. As we grow in grace and in knowledge, the Lord will increase within us, and we will decrease through this lifelong endeavor of overcoming. And by God's mercy, we will go from glory to glory or faith to faith. As God often says, glory to glory, faith to faith, until the author and the finisher of our faith completes that which he has started in us, that process. That is our hope, and that is our confidence in this life. So 1 John 3, 3, we'll just look at that. And every man that has this hope in him, the hope of glory, Christ being within us, purifies himself even as he is pure. God has called the elect unto this endeavor of being a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. And we're going to see that a lot through the Proverbs, the need for counsel, the need for the multitude of counselors. And that will happen and be mentioned many times. But it can only be accomplished through Christ, who is our wisdom, and the reason we can then understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. It is all to our Father's glory that we can do that. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. So the part, now remember that talking about the fear, this is the positive fruit that can be born when we heed the Proverbs of God. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Proverbs 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction because there's no fear there. This opening statement in the first chapter of Proverbs can be bookend with this verse in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13, which states, let us hear the conclusion of the matter, the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. This is the whole of man. These two verses then make it clear to us that without the fear of the Lord within our hearts, we will not have even a starting point to build properly, nor be able to come anywhere near the perfection of our faith, unless the Lord builds our spiritual house that He alone can build within a heart that moves with fear. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 9 to 11. For we are laborers together with God, and you are God's husbandry, you are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Luke 12, verse 5, but I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. And there's so many abundant promises that tell us not to fear what men can do to our flesh. And God has given us this life to be witnesses of these things. Of what things? Of the power of God, of what he can start and finish within the body of Christ. By faith, Hebrews 11, verse 7, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Hebrews 5, verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Speaking of Christ, of course. Verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of your father, and forsake not the law of your mother. Hearing the instruction of your father and not forsaking the law of your mother is how we honor our spiritual father and mother. And in doing so, God's elect become the first recipients of being blessed to have our life built upon a sure foundation, Jesus Christ, the gates of hell not prevailing against us, so that we might be in that blessed and holy first resurrection, where we will be blessed with long life on the earth. Ephesians 6, verse 2 and 3 tells us this, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. What is the promise? That it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. Matthew 16, verse 18, and I say also unto thee, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So the earth is not going to be here forever. There will be a new earth and a new heaven. But during that period of reigning, we have that privilege. That's a blessing. That's a first commandment with promise that God gives to the elect. However long that period is, it'll be a tremendous blessing to be used of the Lord to bring people unto the knowledge of the truth, the manifest knowledge of God being made known through the church. So that's the mother in that instruction there, honoring your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Verse 9, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about your neck. This idea of keeping the instruction of our father and mother, who represents our father in heaven and the church, is reiterated in Proverbs 3, verses 3 to 6. And the blessing that springs forth from this obedience, an ornament of grace, is that God, thy head, will direct all our steps. Proverbs 3, verses 3 to 6. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck and chains about thy neck. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. When we consent to spiritual fornication, we are becoming one with a harlot who represents the false churches of Babylon. And Proverbs 5 verse 8 says, remove your way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. Verse 11, if they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. It sounds so diabolical. But what's it telling us? What's the spiritual lesson? Of course, it's talking about our disregard for the word of God and following the ways of this world. The innocent are all of us in our appointed time as naive Christians who are drawn into the churches who aggressively make proselytes for their fold. Matthew 13, verses 14 and 15, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers, therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves." So that's Matthew, verse 23, verses 14 and 15, and that's where the Lord has us start off. We are those Pharisees. We know that. That's the heart, the natural heart of man. Matthew 11, verse 12. "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force." Verse 12 says, "Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit." Christ tells us that this is where the dead are burying the dead, swallowing the new Christians up alive as the grave, taking them down into the pit of false doctrines that are multitudinous. Revelation 9, verses 2 and 3, "And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and upon them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power." We know they represent the false prophet and the false doctrines that the false prophet speaks. Verses 13 and 14, and again, it's where we all start off. "We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil, casting your lot among us. Let us have one purse." Let us all have one purse. What is considered one of Babylon's greatest riches that has become a mantra is the saying, "Let there be agreement in the essentials and tolerance in the non-essential and love in all things." In other words, Babylon takes Christ's pure doctrine and carries into your temples my goodly pleasant things, Joel chapter 3, verse 5, "taking thy fair jewels of my gold and my silver, which I had given thee, and madest to thyself images of men, and did commit whoredom with them," Ezekiel 16, verse 17. Babylon will also tell us what is essential and non-essential, and it does not agree with the sum of God's word, but rather with the ecumenical spirit of this world that says, "Let us all have one purse." From Proverbs 1, verse 15, "My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain your foot from their path." What we're, and you know, just to that point, we're in the world, we're not of it. And we're all going to be in situations where we can't avoid what's happening in our workplace. We heard Sherry's witness to that. And it's the discretion that God's looking at our hearts. He sees our hearts, and we need wisdom. We need to know how to, when to witness and when to not answer a fool, or when to answer a fool according to their folly. It does take wisdom. And the Lord loves us to put us in these situations because he's working them for our good, for our growth. What we are told to do is walk not in the way with them, flee spiritual fornication, in other words, and go nowhere near her door. Again, Proverbs 5, verse 8, "Remove your way far from her and come not nigh the door of her house." Then the next three, 16, 17, and 18, "For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. And they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives." Christ tells us the elect are likened unto a dove in Leviticus 14, verse 6. And Satan's objective is to snare us like a bird with his lies in the churches of Babylon. But as we learned, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. So in the end, that trap is set in vain. Just as Cain was told, "Sin lies at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." And that's true for all men. In time, we will all rule over sin, all of mankind. Babylon is divided regardless of the ecumenical spirit that serves to unite the churches of this world against Christ and his Christ, which is what Acts 4:27 says. In the end, they are laying wait for their own fall in God's appointed time, and great will be the fall of Babylon. Revelation 18, verse 10. Verse 19, so are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. All of these verses of Proverbs 1, 12 to 19 reveal what it is that God will deliver his people from who are being led by the Spirit of God. The main root of these actions of evil are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Christ, as our example, was tempted in all diverse manner, and so we take great comfort in knowing that regardless of what has been written in our books regarding temptations and trials to come, we have a high priest who can and will deliver us from them all, no matter what the gates of hell throw at us. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Romans 8, verses 14 and 15. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 4, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And that really explains to us, doesn't it, why it's through much tribulation that we enter into the kingdom. So all of that tribulation, we're being comforted through it for a reason. The Lord's building up the body of Christ so we can be those comforters that come up on Mount Zion, and for each other today, of course. In verse 15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Verses 20 and 21, wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief places of the concourse, in the opening of the gates, in the city she uttereth her words, saying. And then we'll read what she says later. Christ, her husband, is known in the gates, Proverbs 31, verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land, and is the one who wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. Our husband, Christ, is known in the gates that represents our hearts, out of which springs words that come forth from the church in the city, Jerusalem above. She uttereth her words, as we just learned on auto study, a city is a church. She crieth in the chief places of concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city, she uttereth her words, in the church. Is a statement telling us that the word of God will go forth and bring healing to the nations, each man in his own appointed time, who will come to acknowledge his words are the words of eternal life, and that they are manifest through the church, to the intent that now, as the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. And now finally, the third section, the negative consequence of not holding fast to the wisdom of God. Verse 22, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? This rhetorical question already has an appointed time in God's mind when the simple will stop loving simplicity and scorners will no longer delight in their scorning, and fools will one day love knowledge. We all must start off as being simple and blind scorners and fools who hate the knowledge of God, so that when we are blessed to be given eyes to see and ears to hear, there will be a great contrast created in our hearts going from darkness to light. Philippians 3, verses 7 and 9. Well, what things were gained to me, those I counted for loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And so talking about that gulf, besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Proverbs 24, verse 7, wisdom is too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gate. So our old man is talking about we can't. It's only Christ who can do that. He is the one who makes it possible for us to be accepted in the Father, and the Father gives us increase through Christ. He is our wisdom. Verse 23, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. We surely can't turn at God's reproof unless he softens our hearts. But God does have an appointed time in mind when he will visit us by his spirit that will judge us and soften our hearts through that judgment. Luke 19, verse 44, talking about that day of visitation, and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee. We know children represent doctrine, so he's going to clean up all of our false doctrines. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because you knew not the time of your visitation. 1 Peter 2, verse 12, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation, not today, but in the day of visitation, unless, of course, they're being dragged by your example and they're called, and this becomes their day of visitation. The prophecy of a new heart given in Ezekiel 36:26 is only possible by God's Spirit dwelling within us. It is then that we will be able to obey God as Christ works in us both to will and to do of God's good pleasure. And that's what God says. He pours out his spirit on those who obey him. But who is giving us the power to obey him or to lay down our life? Christ said, I lay down my life. He says, I have power to do that. Well, who was giving Christ the power to do that? The Father. He said, of my own self, I can do nothing. By God's grace, we will at long last have the ability to turn you at my reproof. Instead of despising God's goodness that leads us unto repentance, which we will also still do in fleshly moments of weakness, we will despise his goodness. But grace will much more abound. Where sin abounded, when we despised his goodness, grace did much more abound to burn that spirit out of us as the Lord sees fit. It is through judgment that God can continue to make his words known unto us as the Comforter leads us into all truth, sanctifying us through this life. This is a lifelong process. This is happening to those who have been apprehended by Christ in this age, explained this way by the Apostle Paul. Philippians 3, verses 9 to 14, verses we're very familiar with, but good to read from time to time. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And going back to John verse 17, verse 3, that this is eternal life, to know the Father and the Son, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, because we go on to perfection on the third day. Paul knew that. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. This is his declaration of believing. He's bound to the altar. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And the faith of Christ will do that. If we are Christ and God's working with us, that will be our goal and our objective, regardless of all of the trials and the afflictions. The Lord will continue to drag us. God will drag us to Christ, and Christ will give us the strength, and we'll live by the faith of the Son of God, like it says in Galatians 2:20. Verses 24 to 28, because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you have said it not, all my counsel, and with none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear comes as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind when distress and anguish come upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. The consequence of not heeding the words of God, after he has called us and stretched out his hand to us, reminds us of Hebrews 6, verses 3 to 6. And it also reminds me of Hebrews 10. I just thought of that now, where you said of what sore the sore punishment for after hearing the word and then rejecting it. God permitting his chastening grace upon us will motivate and bring us unto maturity and perfection on the third day. And that's the confidence the Father wants us to have. Don't want to just desire that the dying daily process and know that the Lord has blessed us and it's his good pleasure to give us the kingdom. He wants us to understand the need for the process, but also his love and mercy in the midst of the process. Hebrews 6, verses 3 to 6, and this will we do if God permit, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, all of those things, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. And that's why Paul said, you know, after I preach to others, I keep under myself, lest I be a reprobate. He knew he hadn't attained. He knew that he had to continue to die daily, regardless of what the Lord had worked through him. It was the same for him and everyone else who is a Christian, who has Christ's spirit in them. Hebrews 12, verses 6 and 7, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, and how are we possibly going to do that? Well, it'll be through Christ, through whom we can endure all things. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? In other words, they're all chastened. We're all chastened of the Lord. Luke 13, verse 32, and he said unto them, go you and tell that fox within us, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. We would simply set at naught all of God's counsel, and our hearts would be hardened at his reproof if the Lord was not working within our heavens, giving us a humble and a contrite heart. These words that define our rejection of God, from verses 24 to 28, are an admonition that, Lord willing, we will hear, so that we don't find ourselves in the terrifying, dark place where we call upon the Lord and he does not answer, where we seek him early and we can't find him. Of course, in due time, all will find him. But what these verses reveal is the severity and goodness of God, who alone determines who it is that will hear and who it is whose heart will be hardened. I'm thinking about this like an analogy. When you have a bad dream and you want to wake up, you're trying to wake up and you can't. That's the worst feeling. And then you wake up by God's grace and you realize the dream is over. It was just a dream. That's all it was. But this is the spiritual reality. God says to us, we're blessed when we can be awake and to recognize that everything we're learning is true. It's the words of God, and he wants us to have peace. He wants us to be awake spiritually, so that we don't come to that place of being asleep when our master comes back. He wants us to be ready. Romans 11, verses 20 to 22. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and you stand by faith. It's all a gift of God, being on high-minded with fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, but toward you goodness, if you continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And what is God's goodness? Well, Romans 2, verse 4, God's goodness leads us unto repentance. So it's a lifelong process of being purified and acknowledging the workmanship that we are and thanking God for it. Verses 29 to 32, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they, with none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them. and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Again, God does not hide the hardcore facts of what a curse it will be if we do not choose the fear of the Lord, or that they would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. We eat the fruit of our own way, our own devices, when we are those who are found in our own righteousness and not that of the Lord. Philippians 3 verse 9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. We eat the fruit of their own way when we do our many wonderful works, independent of acknowledging God's sovereignty, which will ultimately lead us to being filled with our own devices that will lead to death unless God brings us unto repentance. Proverbs 14 verse 12, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. These following translations render the end result of the fruit of our own way and our own devices, and how they will ultimately lead to our old man's demise, and great will be the fall thereof, killing us spiritually. For the instability of the simple, it shall kill them. Again, Proverbs 14, verse 12. And the carelessness of the stupid, it shall destroy them. That's CLV. And then the next one is the ERV. Oh, it is. Okay. For and everyone that hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew. So it's going to happen, trials and tribulations of life for everyone, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And you know, with all these verses, we know there's a time when that did happen to us. And if that happens to us today, that's a blessing, because now we have to start again. We have to have a foundation, and we have to recognize that we built upon a faulty foundation. And God willing, we will be given that privilege to see the Lord build this new house, this temple, the church, which is what we are. Verse 33, but whoso hearkens unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. The last verse of this first chapter of Proverbs is the title of the study, and it represents those who are blessed to read, hear, and keep the sayings of the prophecies of the entire Bible. Salvation is a gift of God, and the fruit of that gift being given to God's elect in this age is that we shall be quiet from fear of evil. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts, not maybe, it will, and minds through Christ Jesus. And I've heard Mike say this and others, that this is the most precious commodity, and will be, and more so as the world waxes worse and worse. This is the gift. This is the heritage of the saints, to have his peace and to help each other. Of course, we pray for each other to have that peace. So thank God for that. And hopefully these proverbs will help us gain that peace even more deeply as we go through this series. Thanks all for coming out.